attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, rightly divided here with power, authority, and conviction by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. This anointed teaching will challenge you, strengthen you, and equip you for a truly victorious life in the Lord. Be transformed as you listen.
Give attention to my words.
Clap for Jesus, Savior of the world. But one day he's not coming as a savior, but he's coming as the judge of all. So we are ready. We are going to get ourselves ready for that day. We thank him for Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and all the days after that till he ascended. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad God made me sit or stand by you. Now you are standing, so hallelujah. Give him a smile, a smile, a smile. Yeah, beautiful. Your faces are bright. It's very good. Your faces are shining. It's very powerful. May it signify and symbolize peace in your heart, joy in your heart, and prosperity in your soul, and in all that you do. Clap for Jesus one more time. Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for the blessing of being in your presence. What a blessing, what a joy it is to be in the presence of the Savior. Today we ask you to bless us with your word, the presence of your spirit, teaching, guiding, helping us to be what you want us to be. Oh yes, we pray today that you speak to our hearts. We pray today that you will touch our hearts. We pray today that you will soften our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way here. Have your way in this place. Let the entrance of your word bring healing in different aspects of our lives. And let us leave your presence having been fully affected by the presence of Jehovah. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Philippians chapter 2. And we are reading from verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I want to just Read it from my little version here, easy to read. It says, don't be interested only in your own life. Then verse 5 has a little subtitle that says, learn from Christ to be unselfish. And it says, verse 5, in your life together, think the way Christ thought. He was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form during his life as a man. He humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that cost his death, death on a cross. Verse 9 says, so God raised him up to the most important place and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. God did this so that every person will bow down to honor the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow. They will all confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And this will bring glory to God the Father. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So right here we are taught to be like Jesus. And to have our thinking like Jesus. And how that Jesus, even though he was God, did not consider his, for lack of a better word, godness or godhood as something that he should hold on to for his own benefit. But he became a servant. He took on him the form of a man and then a servant. And then he became even obedient, even when that obedience caused his death. So this little passage is teaching us the unselfishness of Jesus Christ. And that we all must have that sort of thinking. And I believe that it's a very important message I want to share with you today. So if you are ready as I am, shout a big amen.
Amen.
So today I'm talking about what Jesus did for others. Others. Now, William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, was unable to go for a conference he had organized for his leaders. And then when he couldn't go, he sent them a telegram. In the telegram, it contained only one word, and the word was others. Others. I think all that was meant for them to engage themselves with in the conference was about others. Are you hearing me? And so, this message we are receiving also from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says that look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he explains that Jesus was God. He was in heaven. He had a throne there. He was enjoying. I mean, heaven is nicer than Trasaku Valley, but let's just use Trasaku Valley as a type of heaven in Accra. Because honestly, if you live in Trasaku Valley, I think it's a nicer experience than some of the places where we live. Am I saying the right thing, Professor? Yeah. I mean, if somebody says he lives at Trasaku Valley, for all intents and purposes, we know that it's a better place. Is that not so? I mean, even some of you, when they ask you where you live, you don't want to mention. You just say, well, I live around East Legon. Meanwhile, you're at Ogbojo. or you are at Okponglo. But the name of Okponglo doesn't sound nice. Or let's say if you live at Mamobi, and they say, where do you live? So I'm around Roman Ridge. You know, because those names, you know, have a better appeal or they sound nicer to their ears. So I'm just saying that there are some type of places that where you live is nice. Now, when you see somebody who lives at Chasako Valley coming down to, let's say, some of the places where we live, like Ogbojo, I mean, allow me to use these. I'm not trying to lower the standard where you live, but you know what I'm trying to say. Yes, you know already. Or let's say Igbegbeise or Fana. Do you know Fana? There's a place off Choko. It's on the sea. They live on the sea. So they go there in canoes, Fana. Yes. Yes. Or Jatapo, which is a place around Igbegbeise. You see, they are all in Accra. But I'm trying to say that if, let's say, you saw that there was a room available, or a hall and chamber, or three-bedroom house, and they say that the place is called Jatapo. It's like you'll be wondering that, such a place, is it safe? Is it a place that you should live? So even though it's affordable, no, you would rather prefer East Legon or Jowulu or North Jowulu or East Legon. You know, these names with East. So I think that even our church area is normally, actually the name is Santo, but I think when people started buying property here and they wanted it to have a little price and the price to go up a little bit, they changed the name to Kwate Papa Few Hills, this area. Then at a point they realized that, who is Kwate Papa Few? Nobody knows Kwate Papa Few. So even though it's Kwate Papa Few Hills, they preferred East Legon Hills, because East Legon is known, and when you add hills to the Legon. Legon itself has a name because of University of Ghana. Right. East Legon has a certain, you know, class because of its association with Legon. And then prosperous people migrated there early. Do you understand? So now if you add hills to East Legon, then it's like you have gone higher. So I tell people that I live at East Legon Hills. They say, is it at East Legon? I say, no, it's behind Ashalebuche. My God. They say, so why is it East Legon Hills? I say, well, that's the name of the place, because it has received a certain, you know, is upgrade and elevation. Now, it's easier for you to say you have gone from maybe Igbegbeise, Mamobi, somewhere, and come to East Legon. But for somebody to descend from East Legon, it's like, now where do you live? And I live at. It's like, I thought you were living at East Legon Hills, or you were at Chasako Valley, which is also higher than East Legon. Am I saying the right thing? For those who are at East Legon, please allow me to. I think the general perception, at least those of us who don't live there, the perception we have is that Chasako Valley is of an upper scale than East Legon. It's a further step up. So those who are prospering, they think of going higher to such places. Yes. And then there's also airport. Then there's also airport hills. So once you add hills to something, it's powerful. But now our Jesus is not from Airport Hills or East Legon Hills or Legon Hills or one of these type of hills. He is coming from heaven. Yes. He is coming from heaven. And he came from heaven to earth. And the Bible says there was a mind that he had. And that sort of mind must be in us, because when you live at a nicer area, you don't want to venture into areas where, you know, it's a little lower than where you live. Our minds are not like that. And often the people who live in such places don't, it's like you don't have much to do with them. Either to preach to them, to visit them, to chat with them, to talk with them. If they even send you a text message, and you know these are the people from such a place, you don't really respond. You rather respond to somebody who texted you from East Legon or Trasaco Valley or one of these type of places. The other day I was telling somebody that I have a number of members who come from a place called Atadika. Younger people, they don't have anything. Not even I don't have much, but they don't have anything. Do you understand? They text me. I respond. I engage them. One of the, their pastor used to say that he's very surprised the way I'm able to chat with his members. I say, I'm also a human being just like them. And if Jesus could come from heaven and come and relate with me, then why can I not also relate with people who are of a lower class? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was God. I don't know what status you have. You are a lawyer? Or you are a doctor? Eh? Or you just finished your MBA? Can you condescend to men of low estate? Is it, does your mind work in that way that I can relate with anybody? I can go to places, different places where it's not like... It may not even look safe, but some of those places are even safer than where you live. Because some of those places, like, they wash their things and hang them outside. They often don't have walls around the houses. There's no problem there. Nobody, if they will steal, it's maybe somebody's chicken that is roaming around, and it's like somebody was hungry and he just balanced it. Or that your towel was hanging, a person took your towel from the lines. I mean, steel towel. A towel, what is a towel? This is your towel you have used for 5 years. By now you should have changed. So the person is helping you to change it. Do you understand? But I'm trying to say that Jesus, if you consider how he is and who he is, shouldn't have come to earth. I mean, at the time he came more than 2,000 years ago, what was on earth? Was there power, electricity power? Was there pipe-borne water, nuclear power, internet, solar energy? What was here? Were there roads? I mean, up till today, look at the roads that we drive on in many of the places where we live. There's not much there. But he came from heaven to earth to show the way. Do you understand? He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. He came from heaven to earth. A very backward place. Dark world. I mean, I don't know whether today even there's still light. I mean, yesterday I had light 24 hours, no light. 24 hours of no light. Doomsday. I don't know whether there's a planned something. It's a planned something. But I've been experiencing it almost like some days. Then you see sometimes it's not so regular. So you don't know whether it's regular or maybe it's irregularly regular. Yeah. But at least once a week, dear, you see something. Hey! And in this condition came Jesus Christ. So as we celebrate and we remember Good Friday and all the sufferings he went through, the Bible says that this is the type of mind that was in him. He was He was looking not for himself. I like the way the ERV, easy to read version, puts it. He says that, the verse 5, he says, verse 6, he was like God in every way, but he did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that cost his death. May we truly have this mind that Christ had. Number one, seven things Jesus did for others. Number one, Jesus thought about others. He thought about others. The scripture teaches us to think about others. Think not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Are you listening to me? The reason why most people do nothing for others is that we do not think about others. How many people think about the blind or the deaf? Or like we do every year, we go to visit the orphanage. Now I'm trying to let my church members think about others. That there are other children who have no parents. And by God's gracious mercies has allowed Bishop Dad to build one of the nicest, largest orphanages this world has ever seen. Not only in Ghana, but this world has ever seen. Yes. And my mind is that you who are here can at least once a year think about others. Let's say people who are underprivileged, maybe children, or people who have no parents. Let's think about them instead of just only thinking about ourselves, our children, their lunch packs, their lunch money, school fees, your own children's backpack, your own children's school uniform, dresses, everything. Think about somebody else. Because it's actually a spiritual thing to be able to put your mind on others and actually mature. When you are mature, you think about... When you are a child, you think only of yourself. I mean, I don't think my grandchildren are thinking of us that. Maybe if as soon as they enter my study, it's like scatter. So I've decided that, look, these are scatterable things. Here, here, here. So I've placed the ones that are not scatterable, that are breakable, and I've lifted them to higher heights or out of view. But as soon as they arrive, they are not thinking about me that, oh, maybe they will spoil something that I have, whether it's books or anything, they can't read, but they just look at the books. If they look at the back, they open it to see whether there's anything inside that they'll be interested in. When they see that they are only letters, they just throw it on the floor. If it's a card, it's on the floor. If it's so many different things, they come and scatter, and I just allow them because they are also, it's also a way of, I say, look, you can't always have your environment organized. Do you understand? Think about these children that they also want something to hold and play with. Sometimes I have some golf balls lying around. As soon as they come, they start knocking them and hitting them on the floor and making them run everywhere. Hey! But they are not thinking about me. They are not thinking about their parents, whether their parents have money for that to satisfy everybody. It's like when they are hungry, they just cry. It's like my food, my this. If they want to sleep, they are not thinking that my parents are tired. Maybe by this time they really need to be on their own. It's like as soon as they are tired, you just start crying. Like, attend to me. Come and help me. I need to sleep. Look, I need to eat. So some of the cries you can interpret as sleep, and some of them today you interpret it as hungry, and some of them is what? Tiredness. And sometimes they want to sleep, and they will sleep. They will rather cry. And it's like, I remember when my son especially was like less than 2 years. Hey, if he wants to sleep, and he was getting heavier, he has to be carried. And then you have to walk around. You can't stand at one place. And I told my wife that this practice is not a good idea because it's going to make us very tired. She didn't listen. No. Every time she will carry him. And the boy will be now, when you move, then he will stop. If you stand, then he will cry. Then when you say, hey, as she was getting heavier, then she said that, can't you help me small? I said, this is what I was telling you, that this thing is to bring a problem. You didn't listen. Not that the problem has come, I should help, that I have to help. And I said, hey, this boy, you have to carry him and walk around before he will sleep, and then you put him down. He's not thinking that your arms are hurting you. He's not thinking that you are tired. He's not thinking that you have not eaten, because he is a child. So maturity makes you think about others. Yes. How many people think about those in hospital? We are mostly consumed with our own issues. To meet someone who even thinks about others is unusual. You can hardly find Christians who think about prisoners, mental patients, or any other unfortunate category in our society. Many of those who claim to be making charitable donations and helping society are only trying to get tax exemptions for their companies. A lot of charity work is nothing more than mere show. That's why you have brought bread, toilet roll. The cost of it is not even in more than 5,000 or 3,000. Then you want to come on newspapers and showcase your toilet roll and one bag of rice and so on, and just say that, oh, this is for Osu Children's Home. And you are not really thinking, you are not, it's not the care. Those who really care, they don't think of television and radio announcements or newspaper clips to come and showcase what we have given. I mean, we have been to this orphanage, Evelyn, how many times? Every year for the last, I don't know how many years we started, about 7 years now. And do you bring newspapers? What about radio? What about media, social media? It's only on your phone and nobody has seen it. Because the person who's really thinking about others to actually have care for them, he's not thinking about somebody is taking a photo of me and you must really, but when you see somebody who is coming on radio, television, this thing, we've done this to this orphanage, it's tax relief. So when you give that money, you can deduct it from your whatever, for tax relief. Is that not so? Yeah. Donation to this, donation to that. Then you just add it, and then to bring your tax bracket a little lower. Or for some tax exemptions that, oh, you are, this amount of money is exempt from tax because you gave it to charity and so on. We have not even thought of whether it adds to anything to your tax exemption or anything like that. It's like you just did it. You just cared for some people. It's not common like that. But often it's that you take photograph as a politician and then you get marks. He really cares. He's removing, he's doing what? Gutter cleaning campaign. Do you understand? Then he has an entourage behind him with cameramen who are shooting to bring on social media to show that this person who is vying for an MP position, he is very caring and cares for the community. Abba, if you really care for the community, you need a camera to follow you as you are trying to clean the gutter. The gutter needs to be clean. It's not a camera that you need. It's work you need. And you must roll up your sleeves and do it. Are you listening to me? So, Jesus, our Savior, he thought about you. He is in heaven. Look at John chapter 14. I'll show you something there. John 14 and verse 1. John 14 verse 1. Let me start from King James because it's easier that way. Say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Yes. That's the sort of mind that I am in heaven. I'm enjoying the scenery. We know, and from the little visions of heaven from John the Revelator and some other stories, that heaven is a very nice place. We are told that the streets are made of gold. We are told that there's no sunshine there. The sun with its heat doesn't shine in the place. God himself is the sun of the place. Do you understand? We hear that there are myriads of angels who are always saying, holy, holy is the Lord. I mean, there are so many. There are trees that bear all manner of fruits. There's a river that flows. It's like crystal. It's clear like crystal. I mean, it's a very nice place. So Jesus was there. Oh, then he says that I have left the place to come here, and I'm going back to go and prepare a place for you, that when I come back, I'll take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He was thinking about you, thinking about me. This is our hope in God. Jesus thought about you too, that you too should leave this earth full of potholes, full of dust, full of doomsday, full of what? Eh? Rising dollar. Rising dollar. or rather lowering city. Yeah. Do you see? And what? Etimode. Eh? Fuel prices going up. Russia invading Ukraine. Death, not only for the queen, but our relatives who are dying and going. But we know that there will be no more death when we go there. Do you see? So Jesus was there. He's in a place where nobody dies. He's in a place where the streets are made of gold. He's in a place where there's no hunger there. There's no sorrow there. There's no more cares there. He's in a place where there's just joy and happiness, singing. I mean, you are just singing. There's no work. There's no work. You are not going to do any work there. You are not going to get up and go to work at 8 a.m. and go through. There's no traffic there. Yeah. You don't like such things there.
No.
And then on top of that, there's no doomsday. And then you will not sweat. It's like the temperature will always be nice. Very cool. I don't know, cool, warm, nice. If you want warm, you get warm. If you want, there are some people who are, any weather, it's like they feel cold. There are some people like that. Whatever, like even this temperature, they are not easy for them at all. You say, yes, there are some people like that. The skin is where they bath with red hot water. Like the hot water is the one that they use for. They don't mix the hot. Like when they boil the, they don't mix. It will be there. I know some people. Hey, when they are bathing, you go and touch the water. Hey, what is this? It's not easy at all. So there are some people that they feel cold, no matter the type of weather. You see that they are. But in heaven, you'll be comfortable. And Jesus was there. He was enjoying. He was really, and he was not even an angel. He was one of the angels. He was not even one of the just the human beings who have died and gone there. He is God. He is everything like God. And he left it because of others, because of you, because of me. Jesus thought about others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Number two, Jesus came to this world for others. Yes, he came for others. He didn't come for himself. He came for others. John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Are you listening to me? Most pastors, most churches are consumed with the needs of their spoiled and overfed sheep. I'm preaching from my book called Others. They are preoccupied with having marital get-togethers for those who have been married for 1 year, or those who have been married for 2 years, or even 10 years, or even over 20-year-olds who are married. Hey, we are busy attending to our rich businessmen who are already over-visited, over-attended to. Jesus Christ could have stayed on in heaven where there is peace and prosperity. He did not need to leave the safety of heaven and come to live among wicked men on earth. But he came. He came from heaven. He came all the way. Today, you can hardly find a successful minister or even church members going away from their comfortable chair and doing anything for God. We seem to be saying, let them go to hell. I don't know why they live so far away. But Jesus was different. He came for others. He went out of his way and came to this earth where we were lost and perishing. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, when he sees our prophet going to villages and towns, media, I'm not called to such places. One person said that if God is not happy with him, he will send him to go and preach at Tamale because of the heat that was there. I remember the crusade at Tamale. I was also around in Tamale. I went for that crusade. And I tell you, during the day, you lie down and the bed, you know, your body forms an outline on the bed from the sweat. When you drink water and drink water, drink water, drink water, you will be still brown. Hey! It's not a simple thing. The man of God said that if God is not happy with me, he will send me to such a place. You see? Because when we are in our comfort, look at our church. Very air conditioned. Very nice. Look at your faces. Your makeup is intact. Sweatless church service where you are not fine. No. We used to have services where people had personalized fans. Like these battery-operated fans where you turn it on, then it's on you like this. It's like they are listening to the message, but they are also cooling themselves. But now no more, because there's fresh air is blowing on your head from upstairs. March has come and gone. We didn't notice it. March is Ochokrikri, where the heat... If you go to church, you can sweat. Hey! But you have come to church, you didn't feel any heat. It's only when you step and say, hey, it's very hot. Oh. But whilst you are here, dear, by the grace of God and the magnanimity of Bishop Ediadi, you are experiencing air condition. Hey! Yes. Because it takes good leadership to lead you to have air conditioning. But it's not easy to have air conditioning anywhere, even in your house. Eh? Some of you don't have air conditioning in your house. It's here that you feel air conditioning. Your room is hot. Some of you sleep on the veranda in the night. You have learned how to sleep with mosquito coil. 5 mosquito coils. One here, one here, one here, one here, and one by your ears, because you need to sleep soundly. So that the mosquito coil will be just flowing around you. You sleep in the coil like it's your air refreshment. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yes. Look at our comfortable environment. Nice church, serene atmosphere, air conditioning, nice carpeted whatever. With a nice pastor too, you see. Yeah, okay. If you add that one, I take it. Yes. And it's easy to not think about anybody else and think more of, you know, there's some dirt on the chair that I'm sitting on. Or that the floor doesn't look to have been swept well this week. Or that this carpet has been there. Remember when they brought this carpet about 5 years ago? Won't they change it? Or the television screen on the side is too small. So when we are on stage, we can't see it from above. We need LED screens. Even we used to have a big LED screen at the back. Who took it away? Who took it away? They should bring it back. All that, the toilet, this thing, these days when we go inside the toilet, it's very hot there. Can they not extend air condition there? Hey. When you go to Holiday Inn and all those places, they have air condition there, whatever. Hey! It's easy to think of yourself that you need more this, more a new carpet, you need more whatever, the choir needs more uniform or the new uniform or something, but you can't think about others. But Jesus came for others. May we live our lives for others. Number three, Jesus loved others. He loved others. Oh yes. Oh yes. Jesus loved others. Most people simply love their husbands, their wives, and their children. Hey, me, myself, and I. Hey, my children. Hey, my this. Oh, my daughter. Hey, my son. Even my children this. Even my daughter this. Like, it's easy to just concentrate only on yourself, your husband, your children, and just focus on the things that are near you. Some of us also are into our extended families. My sister's husband's cousin's brother at Shidiem is having an engagement for his first daughter. Do you see? Then it's also maybe like if you have your schoolmate. My schoolmate's daughter is having a wedding. My friend's sister's this is having an engagement. So every Saturday, I can't join area fellowship because I have to attend to something concerning myself, my colleagues, my family, my immediate family, my extended family, my something about me, something about me. Jesus loved others. You should be able to extend your love, not only for your children. Sometimes I even say that my children's church, there are people who were children's church attendants or whatever. When they had given birth to their own children, they went there to join. I want to be part of the children's church. I really want to take care of the children. No, they went there to look after their own babies. And to ensure that people are caring for their babies very well. As soon as the children grew to a certain extent, they left. So love for love, Father, you see that you have it for your children, your son, your daughter, and the things around your cousin's daughter who has come to spend the weekend with you, your brother's whatever who has come to spend the weekend, but to love somebody's child and care for somebody's child as though it was your own. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Jesus loved others. And that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. He's not your relative, but you can love him. He's not the same blood. The blood doesn't flow the same, but you can love. Don't only let your life and your heart be on just what concerns you. My relatives, my children, my daughter, my brother, my son. But other people's sons and daughters, dear, you have no love for them and can't have any love for them. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. This was what was in Christ Jesus. That's why we are enjoying Good Friday. That's why we are enjoying Resurrection Sunday. We enjoyed all this one because somebody left his own family in terms of like the family. He would have stayed there. Doesn't have any relationship with you. But he came so that you too can experience the love of God. Are you there still? Are you there still? Oh yes. Some people have strong, extraordinary love for their tribes. Hey! Everybody can do bad, but not their tribe. They will defend the tribe with their lives. But Jesus loved this whole world full of wicked people. This great love for others is the exact opposite of the human selfishness which have destroyed us. You see, and if you see how the Bible says that wherefore God also has highly exalted him. So it seems to be that if you can think about people, it may lead to your exaltation and your promotion and your elevation and prosperity in this world. If you were to put others on your mind. You see, one day I went to, there was a restaurant that came, it says, in an aeroplane. And the novelty of it was very interesting. So I went to visit it. When I got there, I said, I want fried rice and chicken. Something simple so that it's not complex. But when you go somewhere, you don't know the food that they make. Just order fried rice or jollof and chicken. You shouldn't go wrong. You see, when it came, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who shall come to judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing. Hey, tasteless jollof is what? And tasteless chicken. So I said, okay, no problem. Maybe this is one off. So I went again with my sister, who also said, Nilante, come here lunch. Nilante, come here lunch. My sister's called me Nilante, but you can't call me Nilante. My come here lunch. Okay, so if I took her to lunch. So I said, let's go to that restaurant. She, we ordered, I don't know what we ordered. I don't know, banquet, tilapia. I don't know something. Oh, she says. She put her finger inside. She said, No. It's not nice. It's not nice. It's not nice. It's not nice. You see? And I don't know whether it's still there. It's collapsed. I'm not surprised. But from that time, I said to myself that this thing cannot last. This thing cannot last. And the other restaurants just near you, their food is very nice and people are going there. They are there up to today. You have come and you have disappeared. Because sometimes when people are serving others, they don't serve others as they will serve themselves. Do you see? It's like they want profits. They want to make money. So instead of making the thing tasty, nice, which will be smaller, and you may not have the profit, it will be big immediately, but at least you will still have customers. But they don't know that through that, it will lead to their prosperity and their blessing as the years go by. They think that it is profit that is the main key. Profit is not the main key. Others is the main key. When you think about others and you are serving others beautifully and you are satisfying others, that will also lead to your own promotion, prosperity and blessing. Yeah. If you are a seamstress, I don't know why I veered into this, but let me just use it because you can learn about business by learning about ministry and the church. And you will see that if you are a seamstress, if you can serve others very well, you see, if you took your things to a seamstress to sew for you for this engagement on Saturday, and the person doesn't finish, and when you go, she has cut the things up, but she has not finished. Oh. Will you be happy?
No.
And tell her that, so many people, pressure. Now, but I'll finish it this evening. So, but the engagement is this morning. You say I will finish it this evening. How do I wear? I say, mayama. Then, on the day when you arrive there, the person is not there. Now you call out of coverage area. The way it is that she has gone out. She says she's coming very soon. You can't get her. Then you angrily walk out of the place and go and find another dress and go for the engagement, looking morose, melancholic, forlorn, distraught, distorted, with a distorted and contorted face as though you have drank lemon juice. Do you think you will ever go back to such a seamstress? And this seamstress could have had a lifelong customer, but you'll be lost forever. And whatever blessing you would have brought into her life, you see that it's gone. So there are a lot of poor seamstresses. They will sew the thing, you take one step, not. It's like they forgot to hem something very well. So now you are going to, they have to cover you with some scarf and go and hide somewhere, find some needle and thread and sew your back before you can go back into the party. What? So you are not thinking of others. You are not thinking of satisfying them. That's why you are not prospering. You are working for somebody. You see, you say your uncle is not well. So you take some of the money to go and finance his hospital bills. You say your daughter's school fees. You take some of the money to go and say, so by the time you are finishing, you have collapsed the man's business. And you have been able to satisfy your uncle's hospital bill, your cousin's school fees, and so many other, using somebody's business to finance your personal things. How do you expect to, if you are thinking about the person who employed you, you shouldn't be breaking him apart like that. There are a lot of Ghanaians like that, bad workers, poor workers. And you come to church, pray for me for prosperity, anointing, promotion, and double double. You can't be promoted double double when you are stealing from your boss. Most of us have things from your job in your house, and you have not asked permission for it. Whether it's paper, whether it's gauze, whether it's gloves, everything. It's like the thing that they are using, the thing is finished. Do you see? Paper towels, toilet rolls, new ones they brought. You are carrying four in your bag. When you cough here, when you get to say, sister has brought things, sister has stolen things. Jesus loved others. Most people don't love their bosses whom they work for. They don't love them. They don't think about them. Yeah. Don't think about them. Will you even think? That's why when we come to church, we don't think about souls that are even on the next road. But this man, we want to think about others. We want this mind that was in Jesus to be in us, so we can think about others and love others apart from ourselves. Oh, you clap properly, clap properly. The Church of Jesus Christ is almost destroyed because of the great selfishness that has consumed the prosperous church. A church that has, like our church, is a prosperous church. Yes, it's a prosperous church, very prosperous. I know you say, oh, Bishop, the money, it hasn't come yet, you know. You keep prophesying, it hasn't come yet. You know, I accept, amen. There is a prosperous church. Because whatever level of prosperity you are in, if you are not thinking about others, you will always say that you don't have anything. Think about it when you didn't have a house. Oh, if only I get a house. Oh, if only I get this furniture. Oh, if I can buy furniture from Fenat. Oh, if I can buy furniture from Furniture City. Now you have a house. You have furniture from Furniture City. You have a car from Enyidado. Is that Enyidado? Do they sell cars? They don't sell cars anymore. What company sells cars? Japan Motors. Silverstar. Yeah. Gamot. Uh-huh. Rana Motors. Yeah. Now you are still thinking that you don't have anything. And that, Bishop. I understand you understand. Oh, Bishop, it's okay. You don't talk again. I'm blessed. See, it shows that you are not feeling blessed. You still feel that you lack something. You lack, it's like you don't have something. It's like you are still poor. It's like there's nothing in the house. And you are building a second, a third, a fourth. Still, Obenoko, you don't have anything. Still, you say you don't have anything. Oh, the other day, a brother was telling me that, Bishop, pray for me. Things are hard. I said, hey, you own a house. You own debt-free one house. And the one you are living in now, very posh, in a very elite place. Very posh, debt-free. Bishop, is the cash, is the cash. Oh, I said, ah. So, if I were God, I would still not give you more. Because you have to be grateful for what you have. Do you understand? You have to be content with what you have and be excited and be jumping and praising God rather than expecting something new. Oh. And yet there are people who are in a worse condition than yourself. Worse than when you were even beginning life. And you should see them jumping and you see the people who sometimes come and dance in front. Often they are poor, non-prosperous people who have no house. They have no car. Most of them don't have a car. Most of them don't have a house. Most of them don't have a job. Most of them don't have a wife. Most of them don't have children. Most of them don't travel. You travel. You have a house. You have cars. You have children. You have wife. You have everything. And yet you say you don't have everything. You don't have anything. And I'll show you the secret. The reason why you have that state is because you don't think about others. The day you start putting others on your mind, others on your heart, and to extend love to a few people other than your little caucus that you have there, you will see that, oh yes, you are blessed yourself, and that others can also be blessed through you. Clap for Jesus. Jesus loved us to the point where the Bible says that he took on him the form of and went to die. He obeyed to the point of dying for you. Yeah. That mind. You see, this is my commandment, John 15:12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is my commandment. When you want to know what to do, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. It's not easy to love. You find people marry who don't really love their spouse as they are going to marry. They just want the prestige and the pomp and show that accompanies weddings. Wedding gown with a long trail. When you see them cry, you see that, look at your long trail. Konako respect my papa no na jai long tree na e tia o tikon. No respect, no love. You most husbands, if you are not careful, you'll be a fend for yourself husband. Fend for yourself. Food is in the fridge. Learn how to warm food and boil rice. What? Some husbands are quiet because if I continue talking, it's as though they have told me something. So I will not say anything again. I think I'll preach to another group when I come in the afternoon. Because husbands might get tense. They don't know how to say amen because it is happening in the house. Yeah. They don't care. If you are sick, you know there's a pharmacy on the road. Count the pharmacies. Shops, the pharmacy shops that are on the road, so that you know where to go when you are not well. If you like, lie down and say they will care for you with oranges and make tea for you. Share. A lot of people don't love their husbands, they don't love their wives, don't know what the reason they even married. They are not thinking about the other person as they are marrying. They are not thinking. It's like, I want to have sex. And this is the person I like to have sex. But marriage is not only sex. When you finish marriage, you will see that, hey, we have finished the sex. Now it is reality of responsibilities and whatever. Yeah. Now the bills, now the whatever. Responsibility. Things to do. Bob is bent. House rent is due. School fees has come. Pipe is best. What? There's no water. Water is finished. Extra classes teacher. You say, for what?
for the child. He said, but she goes to school. Yes, but you still need extra classes teacher to help them understand better. These days, the competition is stiff. You too, you want your daughter to go to Wesley Girls. You went to Achirenshwa Secondary School. You want your daughter to go to Wesley Girls. That's why it will be difficult. We need extra classes. Teachers who can speak proper English. Because who call Wesley Girls? You are an old girl of Achirenshwa. If you take your child, without even good results, they will take care. Oh, pay Wesley Girls. You want Wesley Girls for your child, you will see something. You have to pay. So now we have come. We have come and say, where is the money? I put money here. Where is it? It's finished. How did the money go finished? It get finished. How did it get finished? I budgeted for the man. You are budgeted for the man. It finishes in 1 week. We are thinking about that thing. Then now you say you are moody. You walk in the house, you are moody. Don't be moody. Smile. When you are broke, you are moody. Christian brother. Smile. Smile. So that we can talk about things that we need in the house instead of, you are now taking the flow prayers. And you are now praying with Bishop Doug. What feels like, Mato Kayaka Doria Bashandara Baburia. They shouldn't come and ask me any money this morning. All my money is finished. I don't need any discussion about school fees. Try and solve this. Try and sort it out. You can't just sort it out. Brother, listen to the thing that is being said. The realities. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. Oh, hardly do the rich and prosperous churches of our world think about others. That's why our church is unique. And we still must fight to, like there are churches, maybe you don't travel. You travel, you see that they cannot even meet because now churches cannot meet in schools, public schools. So a lot of churches that we have built, as Prophet announced, we have celebrated 500 church buildings, and some of my members built some of those churches. God bless you. God bless. That's thinking about others. Because when you are rich and prosperous, you hardly think about others. Look at us here. What, even when we are here, what the word takwa or atobrakrum? Do you know atobrakrum? It's a place. By the grace of God, we have a church building in Atobrakrum. Yes. On the way to Samraboy. Yeah. Do you know Samraboy? Yes. It's a major place in Ghana. Samraboy. Yes. But if you don't have a church or a pastor who is saying that, let's lift our eyes beyond ourselves. Let's lift our eyes above our needs and above ourselves and think about others. You will never build. Like the money you have, by now you have bought a new car or another car which you don't really need. But when you are prosperous, you just need options. In case this one, because often a car may break down, and then for 1 week or 2 weeks, you don't have a car. And you're taking Uber, so no, let me put this one down for a rainy day. So there are cars parked in rich people's homes. They have not been parked for 3 weeks. 1 month. Because he can afford it. But if you are thinking about others, that money could have been used for some to bless somebody. And it will eventually return to you. In a way that you didn't even expect. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, men will give to your bosom. You don't clap for such things. Eh? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I will think about others. I'll love others. I'll live for others. Number four. Jesus served others. Jesus served others. In Luke 22:24. Later, the apostles, I'm reading from the ERV. The apostles began to argue about which of them was the most important. But Jesus said to them, the kings of the world rule over their people. And those who have authority over others want to be called the great providers for the people. But you must not be like that. The one with the most authority among you should act as if he is the least important. The one who leads should be like one who serves. Who is more important, the one serving or the one sitting at the table being served? Everyone thinks it's the one being served, right? But I have been with you as the one who serves. Jesus served others. Are you there? He thought about others and came from heaven to serve God's love and God's power to us. Oh yes, this is how your life must become. A life of serving others. Serving others is the key to greatness. Yes, I know that is difficult to understand how serving others can help solve your personal issues, but it is. Somehow, it takes your mind off your minor issues. It opens you up to a real world in which people have diverse and unsolvable problems. Thinking about others helps you to put your little problems in the right context. Thinking about others helps you to cut out complaining and whining about petty things. Thinking about others makes you see how spoiled you are. Thinking about others and serving others can be one of the greatest things you can ever do for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yes. Matthew 20:28, he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is what was the mind of Jesus Christ. He came not to many to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came not to be served, but to serve. May you also live your life to serve, and do something for the Lord. Number 5, Jesus lived for others. Beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So you live for the Lord who died for you. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet know we him henceforth no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled us to himself, and then he says he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So the Bible says, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. Now therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we are ambassadors. What Christ did, we are now being charged to also go and do as ambassadors. Representing God. Reconcile. Come. God was in Christ. Reconcile. Come to God. Don't be far. Don't be separated. Come to God. God loves you. Then he came. Then he died for us. Then now when we came to him, he said, now you to receive the same mandate and go and make others come back to God. This is our work. And to God be the glory, this is our year of work. And you must put yourself into it. Think about others. Live for others. Let your life be about others. And God himself will promote you as the years go by. And then, last but one, Jesus helped others. Jesus helped others. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. The mighty healer, he cleansed the lepers. When cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Can we put your name there? Everywhere you go, you are doing good. The mighty healer, helper, you heal and help the helpless. When cripples, when orphans, when the sick, when the lost, when the dying, when the poor, when they meet you, they know that they've met another Jesus. When cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. How he went everywhere. The effort that Jesus made to go around the world doing good to others and healing others who are sick is a great example of our Savior helping others. Oh yes, Jesus himself was well and not in need of healing, but he went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus had a good life, but he went about doing good to people who needed something good. If God has blessed you with life and health, it is your duty to go about ministering to people who are sick and in need of health. Do not wait until you are sick before you learn the importance of ministering to and praying for the sick. Let us rise up as a church. Think about others and help others. Let us help others. There are so many jobs in God's vineyard. There's so much to do to help others. Finally, Jesus died for others. Jesus died for others. Matthew 26:28, he says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus died for the whole world. He gave his blood to save others. After loving others, living for others, serving others, caring for others, ministering to others, healing others, he went a step further and died for others. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. After thinking about, he didn't only think about them. He didn't only love them. He didn't only care for them. He didn't only serve them. He didn't only help them. He didn't only heal them. But he went further and died for them. He made sacrifices for others. I know you make sacrifices for yourself. Oh yes. To pass your own exam, you spend time, sacrifice your sleep, sacrifice your food, sacrifice to pass your exam. I know you sacrifice for your children. To pay their fees, to care for them, to take them to hospital, to whatever. But there are others who are not your children, biological. They are not your brothers, biological. But they are your spiritual brothers. And they are brothers who are not yet even in the church. They are Christians, or supposed to be Christians, or be part of the church and so on. Who are not yet here. They are outside the walls of the church. And it is your duty, my duty and your duty, to also say that. I can make sacrifice of my time. I can sacrifice my Premier League on Saturday afternoon. Because when you go for area fellowship, it's not because you don't have anything to do. That's the mistake people make, that it's maybe I don't have anything. That's why you are going. I'm free. No, you are not free. Nobody is free. Everybody who goes for area fellowship is making a sacrifice. Sometimes major sacrifices. There are receptions. You forgo receptions because I've attended the wedding. I've attended the engagement, but the time for area fellowship is coming. So the food after
is no longer my interest. It's that my interest is to go after others who are of the fold that Jesus has sent me to. And so I will forgo my food that is at the reception so I can attend to others. It's a sacrifice. It's not just that you don't have anything to do. And Jesus is not asking you to die. He has done the dying. But now we need to just make some time. Area fellowship time. Outreach time. Oh yes, maybe you feel shy. I feel shy, but hey, here I am. I'm about to go and preach to others because I want to forgo my feeling. I don't know what feeling shyness kills, but I don't know what feeling, the pride. I don't know whether it's pride or shame. I don't know what is shame or whatever. And I want to go out and identify with Jesus and talk to somebody and say, you too can serve Jesus. You too can love Jesus. You too can know Jesus. And I am come to call you to give your life to Jesus. Others. Jesus died for others. We must make sacrifices for others. It takes sacrifice. If we don't make sacrifices, the church of Jesus will become marginal, more and more marginalized. Smaller and smaller and smaller. Like what has happened in the UK and Europe and many places where the church of England, church of Scotland, church, all of them are emptying. Because Christians got to a place where they now thought only of themselves. Even to send missionaries, to support missionaries, to bless the work of God, they stopped it. Because there are all these type of people who come up with this type of thing. Oh, you know, why do we spend so much money financing missions to other countries when our own children are here, dimwits, godless, and heartless children? We need to also do internal missions. Hey! They stopped thinking about others. They thought only of themselves and their people, their nationality, their people and so on. And they stopped going. Today, most of those buildings have been sold. Muslims have bought them. Mountain climbing centers have bought them. Gyms have bought churches. Because the churches cannot be, nobody is going again. Because when we should have thought about others, we stayed in the house, in the church. Just partying. Oh, somebody's there. Then people become angry. Hey, it was my wedding. You didn't come. Now I saw you at your other wedding. It means that you don't like me the way you like somebody. And it was my child's this day. You didn't bring your children. But when I went to the other children's party, your children were there. And you were also there. It looks like in this church, there's discrimination in the church. People don't like us. And so, hey, I don't know what I was. Then you see this type of, that's how the church gets destroyed. Me and my husband and my children, me and my husband and my children, there comes a point where you must say that, not me and my children, not me and my husband. Now let me think about others who are not in this my little house. A lot of your marital quarrels will go away.
Thank
you. You are tired of your faces. Think about others. Don't think about yourself. Don't think. Abraham Lincoln, I don't know whether he was the one, but I keep hearing that he said a statement that changed Americans and really shaped their thinking and how they look at their nation is that don't think of what your nation can do for you. Think of what you can do for your nation, which is think of others. Don't think about yourself that, what can they do for me? What are they doing for me? Why have they not done this for me? But think of what you can do for your nation. And when that thinking changed, people became more nationalistic and very, very sacrificing. And that's how they built so many things. Many, many bridges and things. They built them hundreds of years ago, not today. That people are enjoying. Today we want to go to America because people have built their nation. And what about us? Let's begin in our church. Let's live for others. Think about others. Help others. Minister to others. Serve others. And eventually make major sacrifices for others to help us. Stand to your feet. Let's go.
I'm going to think more about others. I'm going to help others. I'm going to love others. Lord, touch my heart to love others. Touch my heart to serve others. Touch my heart to care for others. Can you pray that prayer right now? Close your eyes wherever you are. Engage God and make that prayer. Lord, help me. Roma kasakata yaduri abahanda. Shele merato sande de mekabarada bashikalamana. Oh yes. Marota siya mahanda ligarota shike se malale. Romia fasata kende ilaroma shiki balaba sataya. I want to live for others. I want to help others. I want to care for others. I want to be there for others. Jesus came for others. I want to be there for others. Oh, Ria Mahakasike, La Meradasa, Leko Chamika Valima Safanda La Marona Sike. I want to serve others. Hey, Shamakwa La Marakosike Yamaha. I want to help others. Oh Lord, I want to make sacrifices. Oh Mashika Laba. I want to sacrifice money. I want to sacrifice time. I want to sacrifice my status. I want to sacrifice the comfort of my home. I want to sacrifice, Lord, give me the grace, give me the strength, give me the grace. Honna shala makari kesunda liko safi meleharia. Let my life be for others. Make that prayer to God. Wherever you are standing, make that prayer to God. Enna sondali makarata zigele. Reto samika fandali marada. Sasa sesio kafidele meharada. Seso machia kafande ilora. Miso masinge melehada. Seso machia kafile kosaba. Mefo vasime heyane. Netio safile kavandala. Ah, my God. I want to make sacrifices. Help me, Lord. Ashike la murata siga. Fafa solamana. Handalaba. I've kept to myself. I've kept indoors. I've kept inward. But Lord, I want to step out. Rapa soka fandilimina. Rapazie ka fanda ligerete se. Daso mahanda ligerata cha. Zima ko fatali maraka zigede. Zoso somia fa lige barade. Zesimia mananda la barada shaya. Hey, ya mahande lebe. Zio ka fande le merata siya mahada. Ende kefete limi jagada. Blessed be God. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Let God touch your life. Mashike mendere breda. Rendo simia mahanda. Ite simika fanili migaba. Jiakola bazike terilelele. Ziota fandala. Eh, my God. Tachindele mekoria bahagada. Inike fendele mina. Blessed be God.
Thank you, Lord.
At the end of this month, we are going to have a mega church conference. And it's about others. In fact, this conference should have actually been a conference for the council, like Macarius Council, like all my branches, my pastors, the workers. We'll be around this number or a little more, even. In fact, more. All of the church workers, singers, ushers, instrumentalists, shekel stars, communion stars, all church workers, pastors from here, Teshi Macarius Tower, Shiashi Ogbojo, American House, Ashali Butre, Madina Estate, all of them, if they come together, will probably be about more than, maybe a little more than this. But God touched my heart that I should think about other churches. Small, who are all in our area here, our catchment area here. I should think about them. So I'm reaching out to pastors. We did it in 2021. Yes, we did a conference like that 2021. We reached out to the pastors and they came with their workers to also help them, to also encourage them, to also teach them how they can also advance in the work of God, as God has taught me for many years. So, and we are going to do it 26, 27, 28 of this month. Friday night, the whole of Saturday, and then Sunday afternoon. Yes. So, we want to just pray towards the conference. Is that a good idea?
And you can all attend. If you are not a church worker in that sense, God, you are going to think about others and it may turn you into something to help others. It's like, what can I do to help others? So when you come at the conference, you will also be shown what you can do for the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. So lift your hand and commit this conference, the mega church conference. Bishop James Sa will be here. Bishop Intefu will be here. And so many other men of God from within our UD and outside our UD, they will all be here experiencing the grace of God. So lift your voice and pray. Add your voice to this conference through your prayers, that God will bless it, that God will cause it to be of great impact to the body of Christ, to the work of God, to the people that serve God, to you who are serving God, who will come also for the conference. Mata sataya ne mandorolo moshikia babanda rema sandara la babaria mama sandara basibere rebere ria makafanda la rama zeto pandaria basata liko sabata pandala mana ne panderia ba shikelebede ria bahanda la baba raba sandala mana indelelebo kapararaba. The mega church conference is before the Lord. We are praying, oh God, touch the churches, touch the workers, touch the pastors, touch your work. Lord, bless your work through the conference. Bless us through the conference. Change our lives, change our hearts. In the Makoria, Nesondalama, Handalaba, Reko Sandalama, let it be a blessing to all who attend. Let churches experience numerical growth. Let churches experience God's power and presence. Let churches, every church, our church, every church, included, involved, participating. May we never be the same again. May our churches never be the same. May our pastors never be the same. May the workers never be the same. Singers, instrumentalists, ushers, oh my God, Aquaba ladies, Shekel stars, communion stars, we are praying for each of them. Children's ministries, we are praying that all these workers, all these servants, Lord, will be strengthened. Anda bara masikea, rata samandara, reko parandala, reko satayanda, ile barada basa fanda limara, eko salamashe, nintele mene, hondalaba, nekata, reto samyangada, endalaba. Barabasiega, Meshonanda Laba, Rekoa Sipele Mehanda, Ela Mashanda Laba Barabara. Pray for the facilitators, like the preachers. Myself, Bishop Intefo, and Emeritus Bishop James Sa, pray that God will use us, pray that God will help us, pray that God will guide us by His Spirit and lead us to help, to be a blessing to His church, to His pastors, to His workers, to His body, and that through this conference, many anointings will be stirred up and released for greater and greater works. Every church will experience greater numerical growth from that conference, and that from that conference, churches that are struggling will rise up and be stronger. Churches that have not existed, that existed but have never really made any impact, will start to make great impact in the mighty name of Jesus, and that many workers and pastors and so on will be released through the conference. Shall we pray? Orama safade liko samahanda reto samakataya gaderia rapa sondalaba mentala mashanda hela makariana. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Therefore lift your voice and pray. Ondala marate seto samakata lento la marande inenge fela mashieda la mara zeso mafiendele mekarade ie la mahandele me suo safandile mega fale cataliano shika namasendele merada findele gea ontachila gavara da sikele o la masandala ne parona sibie onda chie mahala kisolama meo tafile megaradesia eo na chile mawanda chiko wabase maunde kafali yaba ea mahandele ga zoso mafali yamaratesie na chieo kalimarano sifemala maso badile mikayada. Blessed be God. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, every one of us will be encouraged to register for the conference. And I think after the service, there's a stand right at the back there. Please register and attend the conference. Please register and attend. You can actually get, there's a short code you can send to this *2928*333#, and then it will take you through the registration process. Or you can scan, there should be something you can scan. Yes, if you scan this, you can scan it and then you register. So take your phone and scan. Take your phone and scan. Make yourself a participant of such things because it's for you. Yeah, you won't take your phone, you won't scan, you won't attend. Your phone is spoiled. You don't have your phone. You do the short code. So do the short code. And your phone is a yam. Ah. If it's not a yam, then do the your camera. You just use your camera to take the screenshot from the screen. Unimye. Unimye. Now, why do you want to use short code when there's a more scientific way of doing it? Fantastic. You are blessed. Anyway. Hey, still. Dorothy, your camera is not good or what? You have lifted it for a long time. Hey. When it comes, then it goes. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. Hey, how can your phone be disgracing you at this time? Anyway, hallelujah. Amen. Clap for Jesus. I'm sure after the service, it will still be on the screen, so you can do that. But let us now bow our heads together. If you are here this morning, you are not a born-again Christian. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. This Jesus who came from heaven to earth to show us the way. I want you to know Him. I want you to come to Jesus and your life will never be the same again. If you are here, you want me to pray for you, lift up your right hand so I can pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. I want to be born again. God bless you. I want to be a serious Christian. God bless you. Lift your hand. Lift it up. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't mind anybody to your left or to your right. It is between you and God, but God will do something definite in your life. God bless you. Lift it up high. Somebody invited you, but if you were to die this afternoon, you are not sure that you make it to heaven. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, come to me right in front here so we can share a prayer together. Come quickly. Come. You lifted your hand. Don't be shy. Come to me. Just come to me. Don't be afraid. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. My sister, come, don't be shy, don't be afraid, don't be shy, don't be afraid. If you're a Christian, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. That is also an important step to take. Maybe your love has grown cold. You are really suffering, believing and following the things of God. And today you want to rededicate your life. That one too can work. Lift your two hands, those of you in front here. Let's pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. And I am His forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We have no doubt that you have received a blessing from the Word of God preached by Bishop Eddie Addy. Do join either of our Victory Secret Services from the Macarius Church Headquarters, East Egon Hills, Accra, this and every Sunday at 7:30 and 10:30 a.m. Connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you and lead you in a series of victories.